right, everybody.
Pay attention.
It starts here.
Now that we're all prepared, let's start the show.
The conversation is about to get louder. You're listening to Migs and Swig. Don Migs, Ben Swig, Lisa, and JoJo. From music to marriage, from politics to parenting, from dating to deep thoughts and sports. Get ready for Migs and Swig, Life Out Loud.
Let's get the show on the road!
Welcome back to the Migs and Swig Show. It's JoJo with my boyfriends, Ben Swig and Don Migs. And I get a lucky foursome today with Mr. Reed Hendricks. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Your daughter's kind of a natural on the radio.
She is a natural. I think she's going to be replacing me quite soon.
That's all right.
Replacing.
That means that you did a good job with her.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. She's amazing.
You have good girls.
She's a little annoyed that she's not still on. I'm going to be
honest.
That's
all right. We're going to talk about boobs, so it's probably best that...
Apparently there are 7 types, huh?
I guess. I think I'm more than one of them.
Well, does everyone know what the type? I'll give you a quick rundown. So if you are 800-771-1025, I'd like to know if you know what your partner's boobs are like, or if you know what your own boobs are like. So are they asymmetrical?
I think every woman has one boob that's a little bit bigger than the other.
My wife's a pretty perfect bell-shaped.
Which means you have to explain what these mean. So
I
when,
do.
Well, yeah, you can't just throw the names out. Know what they are.
Generally, heavier breasts, narrower at the top, and then drastically fuller toward the bottom. It sounds a lot like Nadia to me. Are they?
It's not me.
Asymmetrical, so one's larger than the other.
Yeah.
So the third one is east-west, which is a gentle slope from top to bottom, but out to the sides. Nipples point in the opposite directions, and you can find this on womenshealthmag.com, by the way. Side set.
I want to
guess what yours are.
You pointed at me. I thought that was your guess.
A wide space. Ooh, but these look nice here. A wide space in between the two breasts. Nipples point a little more forward than east-west.
Yeah, I think that's me.
Slender, a little wider at the top, narrow at the bottom. Generally skinny, without a lot of breast tissue, and not for me. Oh, it doesn't say that. What? Teardrop, similar to the bell shape, but with a much gentler slope. Easily identifiable from the side. That could be naughty.
I wish I had the teardrop.
Round, equally full on top and bottom. Often surgically enhanced, but not always. I'm going to say my wife is bell shaped.
I've never seen them without a brassiere. So
you really never have seen my wife's boobs?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Come here, I'll show you a picture. Okay. I got something for you.
I'm going to be jealous, so it's probably better that you
don't. Oh, spectacular. Spectacular.
But yeah, I think most be like, how you have one hand or one foot that's a little bit bigger than the other. I think that's pretty much all women.
That is all women, but I think
are asymmetrical.
For this discussion, I think it's a significantly bigger than the other one.
Oh.
Is what that is.
No.
Like you're like
I'm not significantly, but a little bit.
I would say like a full cup size difference, because that's actually my wife. She's got she's 1D, the other's a double D. So she has to have a what she calls, she has to put a boob in her bra.
Oh, basically, like a little chicken
filler.
Cutlet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing. And it comes up with a weird discussion. She's like, I think I left my boob in the dryer. Can you go get it? I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. That happens.
Wow. So does she listen to the show?
She's never, in 16 years of doing radio, she's never once listened to me ever.
All right, good. So I just wanted to then ask, do you usually keep her like on her back when things are getting funny? Because when she's standing, you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it gets all right.
Ben, I want to know about your wife's boobs.
Wait, way to make her feel worse about them.
Big, bigger, and aftermarkets.
All right, but are they this one here, are they round? Equally full on top and bottom, often surgically enhanced, but not always. And do you have a photo?
How do I say it? So obviously she has enhancements, and she had them done before she had our kids, and then she had 2 kids, and those became bigger.
Yeah.
And she wanted the natural look, the breast, which I guess is over the muscle, not silicone, but what's the other one?
Saline.
Saline. Mm-hmm. So they look more natural, but with the kid, they still, you know, after women have kids, their boobs.
Drop.
So,
drop. And that's when the fire comes, right?
When the boobs drop. She's gonna have to get them, you know, redone, or because the realness is almost too real. but it's funny because we had the entrepreneur on the show from Third Love, the bra company I invested in. This woman named Heidi. Her and her husband started Third Love, and they actually have an application that you put up in front of your mirror and you take
it. I've done it.
And it fits your bra. Mm-hmm. And it fits your sizes. And their whole thing is...
That guy has quite a collection of photos.
But they have for some reason, their website's not working, but they have a page, and it's their most viewed page, that Dave was telling me, that is a description, which you guys are talking about, of the different names of boobs, and then actually the way that they look with a picture on it.
Oh. So
it's funny that there are so many different shapes and sizes. And
I've never been with an East-Wester, and I've never been with a small one.
You know, it's funny because when I was heavier, obviously my boobs were bigger, and
tell me more.
I mean, they're not pretty, but it's uncomfortable.
For who?
Like, for the woman.
Well, selfish. You're selfish. You are obviously selfish. All about you. My boobs
hurts. And I'm a stomach sleeper, and it's really uncomfortable.
How do you do that?
I'm glad you said stomach sleeper. When you said stomach, I wasn't sure where we were going.
Tell us slowly. How do you do that?
Stomach sleeper, and it hurts.
So, can I tell you what just happened while I was on this website? The internet's amazing. So from there, there's a thing, 11 nipple facts you need in your life.
Do I?
I don't think you really need that.
No, but it's funny to me that you can get to that. And then there's the other thing is four things you should never, ever do to your vagina is literally, it's literally a whole thing.
I'll have to read that on a separate time, make sure I'm okay.
Well, so
can I just say that I wanted to be sensitive towards my wife and her boobs and what has happened to her boobs, but I got the text that they are under the muscle, and she says that now they are on the floor because they've dropped so much. So those are her words, not mine.
Well, speaking of Nadia's boobs, let's get juicy with
yes.
it.
Yes. And now.
Talking about the juice with JoJo. On a story and a story on a mind. Rolling down the screen, searching headlines. Talking about the juice.
Here's JoJo.
So my friends at TMZ notified me that the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas was on fire on Thursday night. They reported that flames shot up from the roof of the hotel casino, which created chaos on the strip. And I don't know, I mean, we've all been to Vegas here, but if you've not, there's not much room for chaos to ensue. I can't imagine it was pleasant, but
beyond chaotic.
Yeah, I guess they were able to contain the blaze, but people inside the hotel were evacuated. No injuries were reported. I don't know where you go when there's that many people in such a, I mean, it's literally.
There's got to be video.
I'm sure. I haven't seen any.
You got to get your friends on this.
Yeah, do any of you watch Survivor still?
No.
Or
never watched it when it was
no?
on.
Never once.
No.
Oh, really?
And
no.
I know you
I
were
think
close
you would like
to
it,
it.
Because here's the thing. I mean, I can suspend my disbelief a little bit when it comes to reality TV. All right, but here are these guys, and it's also like the other show, Naked and Afraid, right? Okay, so these people are in the middle of the island or middle of the wherever. No food. They have to get their own food. But there's a camera there. Like, and there's a crew. Like, what?
No. They're just told they're not allowed to feed you or give you anything is
So anyways, that's just my with shows like that. I just have I can't suspend my disbelief enough to think that okay, these people are out in the wild and they're supposed to get their own food and they're supposed to survive.
They
but
are
yeah. Okay.
I worked for Survivor.
So get off her back, Ben.
Well, no. I mean, I understand what you're saying and to look at it, Reed. If I didn't love your laugh so much, I would yell at you right now, because he's not funny. But they do literally drop them wherever.
Like a mic drop. And like the drop of the music again with the chain smokers.
But they don't help them. They don't tell them what to do or where to go.
Really none at all?
No.
Because I was actually on your side and now I'm thinking.
And they I mean, cameramen obviously take shifts because they do record for extended amounts of time. And obviously, what's his name? The host, Jeff Probst,
he
leaves
and
goes and stays in a... When they're voted off so that you don't know who's still part... Because everybody goes from the time they start filming until the time that they are ending. And so they take all the contestants to be sequestered. That's like the lap of luxury. Like you almost want to get voted off because they hang out and they party and drink for however long.
God, I'm
you
so
know.
Attracted to you right now. The way you're just talking, like taking over. things. 800-771-1025 if you want to talk about.
Are my asymmetrical boobs doing that
for
you?
Want to talk about asymmetrical boobs with JoJo? I'm sorry, go on.
But this week, there was a story at Tribal Council that one of the contestants outed another contestant for being transgender. And it made waves and shocked a lot of people because the transgender Zeke was on a previous season and nobody knew. He went the entire wow. length of the show with nobody knowing that he was transgender. And then this guy ended up outing him to try to sway people that he was, you know, whatever, liar, couldn't be trusted. They ended up apologizing, and you know, I'm sure they'll be friends now.
Shared a coconut or something.
See, now that I feel like that's the part of reality TV where someone's like, "This is a good story. This is a good segment. It's going to get a lot of whatever it is.
It's
tweets,
ratings,
whatever."
Yeah, because the thing about reality TV, and you were in it. We're actually Don and I are working on one right now. But the reality of reality TV is, with enough footage and somebody following anybody around for as much time as they follow somebody around, on the editing floor, you can create whatever reality you want.
100%.
Right? So if I followed you around, you know, all day, or let's just use me.
It would be an interesting life.
If somebody followed me around, you know, 24 hours a day with a camera, you know, there are moments where I'm not, but there are moments where I'm not a really nice guy.
No,
we'd be changed.
Right. My point is that
we'd all understand football.
On the editing floor, the editor could create me being a great guy, or he could also create me being a jerk, and a, you know, so it all depends on what reality they want to create.
It's really funny, and I think you would find it interesting. I don't know that you would necessarily like it and want to watch it, but there's a television show on Lifetime that's called Unreal, and it is the premise of the Bachelor, the Bachelorette. It's called Everlasting, is the reality show, but they show you the behind the scenes with the producers and the directors and the show creator and how they do exactly that, how they make people cry and then cut that and edit that to come after somebody saying something totally out of context and not even to them.
Well,
and
they look at
it's
the
a really
last
interesting
election.
Show.
It happened with the last election all over the place. People did, you know, you cut and paste. You get the reality you want.
Well, or that's being given to you. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have to do so much more juice.
Yeah, and so we have stuff to talk about your poop.
Well, that's juicy. Speaking of juice, my poop will be involved in the conversation. Is that too much poop conversation? All right. 800-771-1025. I want to know if you've ever had to poop in a cup. Not in a cup, in a well, French fry, the little thing you get.
On
you know
French
the French
fries?
Fry thing you like get the, when you're at a fair? The little
like
paper thing? That's you have to poop in.
That's what you have to poop on, or that's what you did poop
on? No, that's you have. That's what they send you.
Who they?
I can't get into the they until we get back.
Okay, well that.
All right, we're gonna be back with way more here on the Migs and Swigs show.
Can I just tell you something about the Beastie Boys that you guys might not know?
Yes.
You're a fan.
Summer of...
69.
No, it's summer of 88, 87. I was went to the Beastie Boys Run DMC show. And my dad was working for Bill Graham Presents at the time, and it was his first show. I got to go backstage from watch the show backstage. And from that moment on, I decided what I wanted to be in life, and that was a Beastie Boy.
But how's that worked for you?
It has. I have not gotten there.
Still waiting.
You know, I thought maybe with MCA's passing that there might be an opening, an opportunity.
Well, there's an opening, but you didn't get the call.
No. So, big fan of the Beastie Boys, obviously. And Don and Lisa, actually, for my 40th birthday, got me a signed Rolling Stone, when they were on the cover of Rolling Stone, signed by the Beastie Boys, the actual Rolling Stone.
Do you have a certificate of authenticity
on
that?
Yes. It's in right in my office, and it was one of the most meaningful presents that I've ever gotten.
Ben, that was all I cared about getting you. It meant a lot to me. Lisa didn't care. But is El Chapo on the line?
I don't...
El Chapo.
Hello, who is this?
It's your buddies, the Migs and Swig Show.
Oh, my God, we haven't heard from you for so long.
You've been in hiding.
Oh, yeah. I remember. what do you want?
What? Where are you? What are you doing? What is happening?
There are so many things falling upon me. I cannot take it. I had a body fall on my house, and I don't know if it's something that I should be upset about or not. I am so beglamped.
Did you have anything to do there? So there was a report of a near naked man being thrown out of a plane and was found on a roof in your home state. And he may be the third victim of a flying gangland killer in a day. Any idea what's going on there, why they're dropping like flies, so to speak?
These men, they are thinking they like to dance in the sky with no clothes on, and then they fall. That's all I can say.
That's all you know? So, El Chapo, what has been? Have you been in hiding lately? You back out in public? How are you? How are you doing?
He's in jail.
You're in jail?
Yeah, he just got extradited to the United States. How's the United States accommodations, El Chapo, compared to those in Mexico?
Apart from the lack of disturbances from bodies hitting things and gunshots, it's okay.
Okay, now El Chapo, have you think it's going to be possible for you to pull off the Houdini escape you did in Mexico last year?
I do not know what you are talking about. I do not believe in such hocus pocus. It is It's bull.
All right, El Chapo, let me ask you a question. More importantly, did you ever, in all the years of you selling cocaine, did you ever get high off your own supply, El Chapo?
I'm sorry, what?
I feel like those of you just tuning into the Migs and Swig Show, we have the one and only El Chapo who's calling from...
Hola, ¿qué pasó, amigo?
All right, we're going to have to say goodbye to El Chapo. El Chapo, good luck calling again, please.
I want to tell you everything. I've got so much to tell everybody.
No. El Chapo, we must go. All right, thank you, El Chapo.
Wow. Our tentacles run deep. We have major connections
here
at the Chapo.
You know where I bet he keeps that cell phone?
Where? Mm-hmm. There you go.
Right where that poop is.
So he only gets to be on the phone every twice a day?
Yeah, he probably only can,
All right.
Find the phone twice a day.
Hey, let's get back to the juice.
Oh, I thought we were talking poop.
Oh, you want to go poop?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about poop.
Yeah, I got to hear this story. All right.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
This is Benjamin's. Really, it's Ben and I were on a phone call together.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, my wife calls in on speakerphone, and we're on a different phone. We're on a cell phone, and says, "Don, you're supposed to put the poop in the refrigerator, right, Ben?" And
yeah.
Ben's like, I don't even want to hear the rest of that story. He didn't even want to hear it.
So what is the story?
We're all getting older,
right?
And so once a year, and I guess forget about getting older. It's smart to do. Once a year we do blood twice a year, but once a year we do a full, like we do stool.
Panel, the whole thing.
Urine, all that stuff. Urine, the whole thing.
Out of every orifice you check.
Right. You just make sure, and it's smart to do. There's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, it's preventative.
So they send you the thing in the mail, and there are four tubes. Or jars, and there are different sizes, and they have different chemicals in them. They're all different colors, and there's one like if you go to a fair and you get French fries in that paper thing, Well, that's what they send you to poop.
But it's not actually paper. It's actually plastic. It's paper.
It's paper. Mm. It comes with that a pair of gloves and an ice cream stick.
Did you hit it directly, or did you have to use the gloves to get it? positioned properly in the bottom of the bowl.
I just want to know if you pay your doctor full price for having to do all the work for him, or if you get some sort of...
Well, where are you gonna? What are you gonna do? Say, go and he put his hand under you, pooping it, and you go, and he says, "I'll take it from here."
Well, they should have to dig it out of the toilet. So, I mean, I don't know.
No, you don't dig it out of the toilet.
You can't have a toilet.
No, I'm saying they should have like a special bin for you to go in at the doctor's office, and one of their nurses or somebody has to come in and pick
Don,
it up.
So, Don, answer my question: did you hit it directly and not have to use the glove, or did you have to use the glove to reposition the poop?
No, Ben, you would have been proud. Here's the problem. Whatever I ate...
Did you have to use the glove?
No,
you hit it.
I nailed it. Here's the problem. I also was a little nervous because I think I had a couple drinks the night before, and I was afraid that it wouldn't be... The consistency wouldn't be as solid as I'd like. And so I'm under there, and I had to had to clamp off right away because I didn't want to overfill.
It's like when you pee in the cup sometimes, and you have to pinch the hose.
What I love is you're getting this.
I get it.
So Ben, I'm under there. I have the gloves on. Yeah. It gets in there, and it's a little soupier than I like. I take it out. Now it's on the floor. I'm still on the toilet. I'm clenched because
Why wouldn't you do this in the shower?
Because you don't.
Are you nuts?
Really?
In the shower?
Yes.
In the shower? What happens if you have too much
I'm
to
gonna
fill the
still
thing?
Poop. You're I'm not done after what's in that. That thing's not holding my whole night.
It holds the first part of it, right?
And you just said you had to... I can't.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
So I get that part out. Now I'm clenched. I put it on the ground, and I have the tubes in front of me. I'm still on the toilet. I start opening the tubes, and each tube, when you open it, there's a little... scoop that's stuck to it, right?
Yeah.
So now you're scooping it to get it in, and you can't put too much because now if it gets on the edges, now that's where the gloves come in, which I didn't realize. So I'm trying to get the right amount.
So,
I'm
so
looking
let me just
at
get
this thing. I get all four done. I finish it. But here's the crazy thing. Now I'm holding...
Oh, this is the crazy part.
Now I still have... I have a stick. I have gloves, and some of it digging on some edges of the tubes, and I have a...
What'd you do with the excess stuff in the bowl?
That's what I want. So now I have this thing in my paper bowl, and I'm thinking, I still have to finish pooping. Before I finish, do I quickly wipe up so I can empty this thing that I'm going to be staring at while I'm trying to have a delightful poop? So now I take it, and I use the scooper, and I put the rest of it back in the toilet. And now I'm holding... Now I'm holding this thing, and I took the gloves off already, which is the problem, because now I have to fold this thing up and put it in a bag.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm like, how am I doing this? I still have to go to the bathroom. It was a
nightmare.
But you
pulled it off. So what? So now I'm done, and I put it... Where'd you put it?
Well...
Where Lisa said you're supposed to put it in the
first of all, the day before, I opened the thing up, and there are four tubes, and I literally come out of the bathroom. I go, I can't do this. I don't understand how this works.
A lot of work.
So I said, you're going to need to explain it all to me. So she did, laid it all out for me. Then when I was done, I put it on the counter next to the sink, washed my hands, and one of the kids yelled or something. I went out. Well, Lisa's, first of all, she said the housekeeper came in, was in the bathroom. Like, so she's in there with my poop and jars, and then... Lisa calls me and is like, it's supposed to go in the refrigerator. So I, apparently it's supposed to go in the refrigerator, and I didn't do that.
It's funny, bring up. So when I was like 16 years old, I had eaten corn the night before. And the next day, I had a bowel movement.
Yeah.
And I had seen the corn, because your stomach doesn't digest it.
But right.
I didn't really know this. So I thought there was something wrong with my digestive system. And so I actually went to the doctor and told him. But didn't, I don't know if I told him that it was corn, but I think I said something. So he had me do the exact same thing of pooping in the Petri dish. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard because it's something that you don't, I mean, peeing's easier.
Well, hand-eye coordination could be good.
For a guy.
Because it's a different view.
It's a different view, right.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. It's easier for a guy, but for a girl, peeing in a cup is probably.
Well, which way are you going in? Let me ask you this. You're sitting there. You going in the front or behind?
I hold it in the back.
You can't.
Why?
You can't because you got to see where your hand is and how much room you've got.
When you put
now look at that.
I just feel like if your wife really loved you, she would have helped you with
this. That's what I was going to say. I mean, you guys are doing this the hard way. For better or for worse, that's where you bust out that finger. You go, I got this ring. This is part of the deal. Yep. Get over here.
Can I tell you what really helped right after that, though, Jamie? We went right into the togetherness time, which was nice.
Here's my question, though, because you were saying
wait,
a shower.
You showered first, right?
Oh, I showered her, if you know what I'm saying.
Wait, we have a new soundbite that I think we should play right now. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
And now it's time for a Don and Lisa
togetherness update. Oh yeah.
Jamie made that.
So how many we're up to the fourth month of the year?
We are in
and
April.
How many times have we done?
We're
together
on April 14th, and I'm sad to say, and she's gonna get a talking to when we get home. I was away. Remember, we had
how
some
many?
Time. 32.
Super low.
That's
super low for you guys.
Right, but it's
that's 10, like a normal couple.
We're at 10 a month. We'll get to our 10 by the end of this month.
Okay.
We'll have hit 40 by the end of the month.
Good luck with it.
No, good luck to her. I'm gonna be fine. Joe, what do you have? You had a question, you said?
Well,
they're still on the poop thing?
I was.
Can I just tell you though?
Well,
it's
because
smart
you were saying about you wouldn't do it in the shower, but you stopped anyway and did all of the scooping into the jar.
But
so
I'm still sitting on the bowl. Where's the rest of the poop gonna go? I'm not gonna get out of the shower and go back to the bowl.
Do we know
why?
What?
You cut it off.
Yeah, but I'm not going back to the bowl after I've now showered. When I'm in the shower, I'm not doing double duty. I'm showering.
I'm not saying you're taking a shower. You're just doing it in the shower in case it gets everywhere.
But if it gets everywhere, you want that stuff. You don't want, I mean, feces
in
your shower?
That's my disgusting. Feet are going.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question.
What marker do you look for? So I understand, like, urine sample. You look for certain, you know,
I don't know any of those things.
You don't know what you can find out?
I just wait for someone to give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. Hey, you're still alive. There's a good chance of dying. I don't know what it's checking. That they can't check with your blood, my urine, saliva. They got everything else. They don't need my poop.
Have you had your oil checked?
I've done the oil. Yeah. Moon River.
That's a really awkward thing.
This is the juice.
So another funny story about Mr. D, your father-in-law, my ex-father-in-law. I'm, 29 years old. We just moved to Tampa. We go meet this doctor, and him and his best friend at the time decide that it'd be funny to tell the doctor that I need a prostate exam. Obviously, at 29 years old, I don't really need it. So the doctor comes in.
Full fist.
Puts on the glove. You know, makes that snapping sound. And then puts on, you know, the lube on the finger, and he checks my oil. At 29 years old. No need for it. Just Mr. D thought it would be a funny idea.
Oh, that was good. You let him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
what are you doing?
Was it bad that I enjoyed it? I mean, anyways, what do we got?
No. I was going to say, it's not so bad, you guys. I don't know why you're in such a tizzy about it.
A little ass.
I'd get mine done once a month.
So you have not had to do, we have to go to break, but you haven't had to poop in a
women
in a
have
box?
To do so much work. Have you seen the stirrups at the gynecologist? I mean,
we have those at the house. You haven't had to do that?
What?
I'm sorry?
You haven't had to do any of that pooping in the thing? Has anyone else had to poop in the thing besides that story? Yeah, but have you had to as an adult, Jamie?
No, I've never heard of it. I think you've got some sort of weird quack doctor.
Could be my wife just messing with
me. It could be your father-in-law. It could be. Like messing with me and telling
me.
Listen,
it is very important to take care of yourself. And if you don't feel like maybe right now is the time to poop in a Petri dish, then you should go see our friends at South Tampa Dermatology. And you should make sure that they take care of you on the outside, because looking good helps you feel.
Not only that, they honestly do skin checks and stuff for cancer.
Correct,
which is
where I was.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
that's
is.
On. Go on.
So they do. What is the word?
Skin checks.
Yes.
Cancer checks.
Cancer skin checks for you. So if you, because it's summertime now, so you want to make sure you're wearing the sunscreen. You want to make sure you get checked and take care of that, because it is very important. I do know from personal experience. So stderm.com. Make sure you tell them that the Migs and Swig Show sent you. Give them a call.
Everything's free if you go there.
813-872-9551. They will take great care of you and make sure that they've got you looking and feeling your best as summer comes.
Boobs look good, by the way.
Do they?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was the phone number again? I was looking at your
boobs. 813-872-9551, or you can go to stderm.com. Okay. What do we got coming up next?
I'm sorry, your boobs are...
Thank
they're,
you.
They're
we're
going to
we're gonna be talking about moving, because I want to have that discussion.
We have to talk about moving.
And I also want to say, just for the record, that Nana Patty, my mom, had to do that test, and she said what you went through is much harder for a woman. So.
Oh, really?
Mom went through it.
You know, can I... Oh, before we go, I just got to just say, Jasper said yesterday, my little five-year-old said about Nana Patty, he said the nicest woman is Nana Patty.
Oh.
Out of nowhere. I don't know why he said it.
Nana Patty's the best.
All right, well, there you go. Nana Patty, you're listening to the Migs and Swig Show. Back after these words.
We
And another thing about my poop. So if you if you've ever moved, had to move, it could be a total nightmare and a poop show actually. And if you are building a home, it can be even worse. And then if you're building a home few doors down from the woman you divorced, I don't even know what to say.
Tricky. I mean,
let me just tell you something.
Go on.
By the way, I just want you to not get mad at me for things that I will probably say to you.
In this segment.
In this segment. Continue.
All right.
Well, that was a setup. But so.
Go on.
I just forgot what I was going to say. Oh, okay. So last week, I came clean with something. I came clean with a new addiction I have and I'm struggling with. And that's apples and peanut butter. Mm-hmm. Right. So I have to come clean with something else that I discovered about myself this week. I don't know how to say this. I'm a hoarder.
Yeah.
I'm a hoarder.
Really?
Yes. So I have a hard time getting rid of things. I'm not the hoarder that you see on like
hoarders,
you know, with the dirty house. Like I'm not a messy, dirty hoarder.
Because your wife cleans up after you.
Yeah, you have a bell.
No, mm-hmm. but going through the drawers, you know, going through all of my drawers and stuff that I put, like I hold on to every card somebody's giving me. I just have a hard time getting rid of stuff. But what I really have a hard time getting rid of is clothes. And on principle alone. So I stand firmly on this ground that, you know, some people have the year test, right? If you haven't worn it in a year or whatever. If I've spent anything more than $250 on a piece of clothing, on principle alone, I'm not getting rid of it.
Oh, that's because you're cheap. It's a whole different story.
So, case in point.
Do you have a lot of clothes that you spent? I mean, like.
So here's the case in point.
I feel like all I see you in.
Jeans.
Okay. You should never get rid of jeans.
Okay, so, but here's the thing, right?
Well, that's not true.
Let me just talk about this brand. True Religion. Okay?
Get rid of every one of
them. Okay, hold on. So True Religion was sort of a thing a couple years ago, right? And it was, you spent a lot of money on the jeans, and I have a few pair of True Religion jeans. My wife tells me when we're cleaning up, nobody wears these things anymore. They're outdated. They don't mean anything.
Reed has them on right now.
So I tell her,
which I did want to talk to you about.
Out of spite, I am now wearing a pair of my True Religions.
Honestly.
Because I am not getting rid of them because I spent way too much money on them. And if I have to ride to the station in my douche canoe go to douche land to wear these pants, I'm doing it.
Yeah, you're
just so
have
I don't have to throw.
Do you have an Affliction shirt too?
No, I
Ed
did
Hardy.
Get
rid of
Hardy.
Let me tell you something. So I reached a point of this realization I had about being a hoarder is that I was going through my T-shirts, and I did have a few shirts with some. Bedazzled on them. I did get rid of those.
But you know what? For me, if I spend money on something, mm-hmm. I want to get my wear out of it. So if I buy a pair of jeans for $200, right. If I can wear those jeans 20 times.
You did it.
You feel like you've gotten your money worth.
$10. So you know what I mean? Like 10 mm-hmm. bucks a
you
wear.
Know what, Joe?
So then that to me feels like, okay, so even if they're outdated or they don't fit me anymore, or at least I wore them to get my money's worth from them.
I love giving clothes away anyway, and I thought about that. I really do need to give Reed something because I did notice he is wearing True Religions. Though they're not the bedazzled ones, they're subtle.
Yeah, subtle, right.
But still, don't wear those.
The thing about the whole move, right? I mean, it sort of gives me an opportunity to go through. The good part about moving is I do go through, you know, these
better.
Drawers. You do feel a little cleansed and a little cleaner, but let me tell you something. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
No matter which way you shape it, no matter which way you, you know, try to, you know, we're moving into our dream home that we built, which is a whole nother, you know, nightmare. But the moving process is awful.
So we have our friend Reed Hendricks on. Reed, are you a hoarder as well? Because you moved a couple of times. You've gotten divorced. Then you've had to move.
Not a hoarder, but cannot stand the moving process. If you're not prepared for it, it is an absolute nightmare.
I guess that's my OCD and my.
You're prepared.
I'm always prepared.
Just like you're probably always prepared for an encounter.
Yeah.
Leg shaved, freshly washed.
Toothbrush in the purse. So let me tell you how hard this move was. I mean, for me to sit around all day on the couch mm-hmm. and watch my wife
mm-hmm.
and the movers pack up all. I mean, it's just a pain.
It was exhausting for you.
They're in front of the TV. I kept having to say, move. You got to move over.
You know, I'm trying to watch this, you know, this breaking news that we dropped this bomb and the mother all bomb. I'm trying to watch it, and these guys keep on putting boxes in front of me, and my wife keeps on walking in front of the TV. I mean, it was exhausting.
And you had your feet on your wife's back, and she kept having to get up to move
things. It was terrible.
You're disgusting.
It was
or mine.
A little different than Reed's move.
Didn't experience that.
He had to leave in the night. No.
So you know, you did mention that we are moving about 5 or 6 houses down from my ex-wife.
Would you, Reed, you're divorced, and you guys, I'm sure you get along fine, the mother of your children. Would you ever move 5 doors down from your ex?
Ben, you know I love you.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. But that's me. That's me. That has nothing to do with you. There's no way I could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened or how it happened. I just know that my ex-wife and I, you know, we went down the path of divorce, and we from the start decided that we were going to put Asher first. No matter, so every decision we made, it had to sort of the litmus test was how was it going to affect Asher, and then so that we went through that, and then we sort of. I guess you could say faked it till we made it, like when we were around each other, like, you know, started to, you know, pretend like we got along, pretend like we were friends. And then it just sort of evolved into what it is now. And now, like yesterday, my ex-wife went to go pick up my daughter at school. You know, and spent the day with her and did her nails, went to get their nails done. So I don't know how it happened, right? But it just sort of evolved into this, you know, I guess modern family.
What you have isn't the norm.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing.
I wish it could be the norm. I mean, I wish that it could, if people just took a step back. You know, I was a product of divorce growing up, and, you know, my parents didn't necessarily get along that great. And the problem is that the kids end up getting stuck with the bill.
Well,
right?
And I think that's what you realized going into this. Because your parents
exactly.
were that way. You did not want that for your kid.
If I hadn't had the experience that I had with my growing up, my parents, I don't know, but chances are that I wouldn't have been this committed.
My sister got divorced, and she and her ex, without being judgmental on this, did the worst job ever of divorcing because their kids know everything from how much money, who spends what, who did this. There's always fighting. It's terrible.
And that's what I mean by when the situation happens like that and divorces go that way, the kids end up getting this hefty, very expensive bill for things that they did not have a choice in.
Right.
Right. They didn't choose for their parents to get divorced. They didn't choose for...
No, and you know what's so crazy is as I got older, like I knew my parents argued, you know what I mean, or bickered or whatever, and we're loud by nature, so everybody always thinks that we're fighting anyway, even though we're not. But when I got older and then as an adult and having conversations with my parents about friends of theirs or just certain instances growing up and what people they knew that were either having affairs or doing drugs, like that we had no idea about.
Right.
We didn't know about financial issues if there were
any.
Yeah.
Your job's to be a kid.
We were kids.
Your job's not
and
to
my
get
as far
in
as
it.
I knew, my parents never fought.
Yeah.
Right.
They never, you know, argued. They didn't want us to see that. They never talked badly about each other. I mean, now all the time.
Right. Yeah, but that's different.
I'm just kidding.
But even now it's different because you've crossed that line. I mean, growing up, at one point my dad went on his phone company went on strike and he had Penny Saver. He was doing Penny Saver
yeah.
and we probably had 2,000 Penny Savers in the house and he'd have to put all the things in for no money. And you
what's a Penny Saver?
It's a free paper that they throw in front of your house.
Like coupons?
But it has all different
like
things.
Like Valpak or
whatever. Yeah. And to make ends meet, he was doing that thousands a day. Like literally our house was covered in it. But we never once thought that meant we didn't have money. He was never like, because if we don't do this, you're not eating tonight.
Right.
You know, it's just like, this is what you're getting. Yeah. I never knew the reason why we get a 2-pack of Ringdings, which is something from Entenmann's. And I would only get
one. Speaking Latin.
I would only get one a day.
Oh, I know Entenmann's.
I'd only get one a day. And I'm like, it's a 2-pack, Mom.
Yeah.
Why can't I get 2? And growing up afterwards, it's like, well, we couldn't afford for you to eat 2. If you ate 2, then there's 12 for the week and we'd be done and we couldn't afford to do that.
And I think that your parents did a good job of shielding you from that. And I think the fact that you didn't know is a good job by your parents.
That's what I think.
You know, because otherwise, like you said, when it's a burden to put on the kids to say we can't afford to eat like that, and then of course kids pick up on a lot. I think kids pick up on much more than we give them credit
for. And you
don't.
Yeah. You are robbing your child if you and your ex made your child have to feel any suffering from what you guys go through. And read with his kids that you and your wife, your ex, have done something right, that it isn't, they don't have to bear their burden. The only burden they should have is that it is, now we have two houses. We have two houses to go to. Right. Mommy and daddy may marry someone else. Yeah. That's already enough.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing, like, no matter how abnormal, like you said, the situation with Nikki and I are, is, and then we get along so great, and we get along with, I get along with her husband, she gets along with my wife, and it's a perfect situation. Even in that situation, Asher has told me how hard it is for him that his parents divorced, going to different houses and all that. So even in a perfect situation, it's hard for Asher.
Look, we've talked about this on the show. Migs and Swig, we've done this from the day one, in that no matter what we do, kids will go to therapy at some point for something they think we've done to them, and all our job is to do the best that we can. And that's anybody that's listening. Your job is just to get up in the morning and just try.
Yeah, and I think that until you become a parent, do you realize that, you know, my parents didn't sit down and like premeditate how they were going to screw us up.
Right.
I mean, they or any
most
parents
don't.
Like, they don't sit down and go, okay.
Yeah.
All right, honey. How are we gonna mess this one up? Right.
But you have to stop being selfish when you have kids.
But you do to a certain extent. But all you can do is what Don said. Is it made me realize when I became a parent that if my kids end up in therapy or whatever, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Right. Yeah. Right? Well, follow us at Migs and Swig. By the way, Migs and Swig, everything social. We thank Roland. We thank Jamie and our guest today. Charlotte Hendricks was amazing.
Yeah.
Her dad, Reed Hendricks, was okay. And from JoJo and Ben and myself.
Cat named Mo coming next. I think he's doing a remote from Busch Gardens today.
Yeah, he'll be live
from
Busch Gardens.
So keep it. He'll be on from 12 to 3. And
happy
then
Easter, everybody.
Happy
even
Easter.
My
recovering Jew friend.
Well, happy Passover, whatever we're in.
Is it the Lord's
right
Day?
Now.
What is it?
I love having Reed on the show. He's the only person in the world who laughs. He's a hype man.
Yeah.
Total hype man.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Be good to yourself and each other. Migs and Swig, back next week.